Welcome to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of lawyers.
That's what my wife and I say every Friday night, because we watch Westerns on Friday night.
You don't watch Perry Mason.
That's for sure. No. We watch him the other nights. Welcome to another edition of Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. I'm Harry Alexander, Bunker de France on the far side of the room over there.
That's me.
In Los Angeles, our good friend Todd Roberts. Howdy.
Gentlemen, it is so good to be with you both.
Indeed.
And it's always a pleasure.
And it is. And we have a wonderful program today. We have Susan McCrae, Stan Iver, and Pam
Roylance. And, you know, it's like a Cecil B. DeMille spectacular.
It is. It is. Stan and Pam are starring in a play that is being directed by Susan McCrae called Love Letters, and we're going to get to that in just a moment, but first some of Bunker's bovine stuff.
Yeah, here we go. Well, coming straight to you from Bunker's bunkhouse, the good, the bad, and the bovine. I'll explain this to you so you know what the heck is going on. What I do is I start with today, and I go 3 days back into the past and 3 days into the future, but they're not consecutive days. They're done by years. And I'm going to start with the 6th of August in 1892. And anybody's got a comment, you just jump in there. But anyhow, Harry, this particular date is for you.
Thank you so much.
It is the birthday of Edmund Richard Hoot Gibson.
Hey!
And he was a
Hooter.
Rodeo champion.
The Hooter.
Yeah. Actor, and he was second only to Tom Mix in the box office of that period. Mm-hmm. On the 7th of August in 1782, George Washington established the Purple Heart, originally known as the Badge of Military Merit. Mm-hmm. On the 8th of August in 1899, Taylor McPeters, better known as Cactus Mack, joined the world. He was a cousin to Glenn Strange and Rex Allen. And he taught Roy Rogers to play the guitar at 16 years old.
I'll be darned.
How about that? But none of you guys knew that.
No, we didn't.
That's why this is important.
Lester Slide.
Yeah. And anyhow, on this day, but in 1951, good friend of mine and a guest on the show, Danny O'Hocco, came into the world. He was an actor, stuntman, professional PRCA bareback rider who qualified for the 1979 National Finals Rodeo. On the 10th of August in 1960, Antonio Banderas, I wanted to say that. That's when he was born, but he's known for The Mark of Zorro and The Legend of Zorro, which are fun movies.
And also the Quentin Tarantino films.
Oh, well, it's...
Oh, come on, those were great.
They were good movies, but they weren't Westerns. I know. They refused to acknowledge any movie that's not a Western.
Wait a minute. Any bar where there's tequila is a Western.
See?
That's a cantina, amigo. But speaking
of the Western.
But speaking of the Spanish world, on the 11th of August in 1898, the Spanish-American War began.
By golly, it did.
Yes, it did. And to finish up, we're going to go to August 12th, 1492. And this isn't really Western history, but I just thought it was interesting. Christopher Columbus arrived in the Canary Islands on his first voyage to the New World. And the locals there said, "There goes the neighborhood."
You forgot another important date. Yeah, you did.
I ignored that date.
I know you did, but you can't ignore it.
Yes, I can.
Because it happens.
Were you sure it happened?
I'm positive it happened.
Can you prove it happened?
I certainly can, because you're sitting right there.
Well, I could be somewhere else.
Our good friend Bunker de France celebrated birthday.
too many to count.
Yeah, that's what I tell the cashiers at the grocery store when they want to know my birthday. I said, "Hell, I don't know."
Last time I had a birthday cake with candles, they called out the fire department.
Yeah.
Whenever I think of Bunker's birthday, I always think of the great guest we had on the show, Jim Rogers, who about every 30 seconds he'd say to us as he was a guest on the show, Well, you know, I was the hunting dog champion in the hunting dog trials. Do you know I'm 80? Do you know I'm in the Hall of Fame of race car driving in Phoenix? Do you know I'm 80? Do you know that I was a world champion cowboy shooter? Do you know I'm 80? And finally, Bunker couldn't take it anymore, and he said, Jim, I'm 82.
That was 3 years ago.
It was. Anyway, happy birthday to our dear friend Bunker.
Oh, well, thank you.
All
happy
right.
Birthday.
Instead of sending cards, just send money.
Yeah, there you go, always. All right, let's get to Susan, Stan, and Pam. Susan and Stan and Pam, welcome. One of you started
out. Well, thank you very much.
Susan,
it's
start
a dance
your
act.
Put the director
I swear to God,
on
it's
first.
A dance act.
Put the director
Susan,
on first.
Susan, Stan, and Pam.
Yeah. All right, Director Susan, it's your turn. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, guys. It's nice to be with you again.
It is. It's always wonderful.
Yeah.
Always wonderful
it's
to talk with you.
Always nice. And I'm not 82 either.
No, you're just a young chick.
Yeah, it's spring chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we like
I'm
you,
definitely
Susan.
Definitely a young chick.
We like you, Susan. Unlike so many of our other guests who pay us.
I always think of you as a young, sweet thing.
Yeah, he does. You should hear him talk. Oh my
so,
God!
Can we talk about love letters, my friend?
Oh
yeah!
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's
sure.
why
what,
you're
are you kidding?
That's why you're here, isn't
I
it?
I think that's
yeah.
why we're here.
let's promote shamelessly.
Is there an orchestra with a crescendo? Please get it going. Come on, wind it up. Turn the key.
All right, Susan, tell us about love letters.
Well, you know, when you were a young guy and you were writing love letters to your girlfriends, did you ever get them back in the mail, or did they go through?
Mine always went through.
Well, see how lucky you are?
I know, and I'm still married to her.
If they went through, then you are going to enjoy love letters.
Okay.
Because you will... see Stan and Pam, who were on Little House on
right,
the Prairie.
Right.
And you will see them in a wonderful, different role, and you'll love them.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to the success of this run, and I know that it's just a tryout for Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, from your mouth.
It's going to happen.
All right, so
to the critics' ears.
Yeah. Okay. So it starts on August 21st, and that's at
correct.
The I forget the theater name in
White
Sherman
Fire.
The White Fire
in
theater.
Sherman Oaks. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
Beautiful theater.
Is it a one act, two act, three act play?
It's actually one act with a break in between to the second one.
Uh-huh.
It's two acts, but it's really worth waiting for everything. It's really a good piece.
Pam, how did she talk you into being in this production?
Well, it didn't take too much arm twisting when she said, "Would you like to do a two-person show with Stan?" And, yeah, it doesn't take much. A chance to work with Stan, it's pretty great.
All right.
How could you
and
say no to work 82. With Stan?
I know. Stan, how did you get talked into this?
We're doing a comedy now.
I know. Stan, were you browbeat into appearing in this?
Let me ask you a question. And I am 82, just so you know. Okay? According to IMDb, I'm 82.
Well, you can't trust them.
If somebody calls you up and says, "Would you like to work with two women?" What do you think? I'm nuts to say no?
Oh, yeah. Especially when you're
I mean,
that
God.
Lovely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
you know,
God.
And especially two women I've known for, gosh, almost 40 years.
Yeah.
And love and adore.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how is it working
no,
for Susan
we love
as a director?
You too, Stan.
No pressure, but you can tell the truth. How was it working for Susan as a director?
Ooh.
Oh, gosh. It's been so much fun. I mean, I just love that she was inspired to bring us back together.
Yeah.
Because she introduced Stan and I in the first place, and she gave us that wonderful opportunity to spend about a year and a half on the show and a little house, and then we've had this wonderful friendship, the three of us, all these years, where we have been in and out of each other's lives. We've been in touch. We've been through a few ups and downs as well, which I think always solidifies a friendship.
Sure.
And mm-hmm. we just really have always bonded and gotten through anything that we've needed to get through. And it's just been beautiful to have a friendship and then suddenly be working together again in a play that's about a friendship that spans from a second grade all the way up to 55 years of age between mm-hmm. these two people.
Wow.
So it's just kind of art imitating life for mm-hmm. us.
Well, I think anytime you get an opportunity
well
to work
spoken.
With Susan, it's a dream. It's a pleasure.
Yeah.
I mean, working with Pam and Susan, but working with Pam from Little House is just like putting an old pair of cowboy boots on that are so comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know how that feels,
guys. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I look a lot like those old cowboy boots, too.
Yeah.
But I'm not 82.
I don't want to say anything about old leather, but, yeah.
I wasn't
going to
say that.
Oh, God.
Well, you know, just what's so neat about this play by A.B. Gurney, is it's like almost every couple in the world acting world has done it. And I think my favorite one is Robert Wagner and Stephanie Powers. They did it in London, but they did over 350 performances
wow.
all over the world.
Wow.
And that's what's wrong with it. Yeah.
You know, what's truly amazing about that fact is the fact that they could do that many performances in London. Because, you know, the food is not really, you know, it's not going to keep me on that side of the pond. I'm just going to tell you now. Let's be honest. Unless you can find a good Indian restaurant, we're in trouble.
What's wrong with bangers?
Yeah, you can now.
Well,
I'm not worried about the bangers. I'm worried about that head loaf thing.
They had it flown in. All right.
Yeah.
So the basic story of Love Letters is these two people who have met, they've been together or not together necessarily. They grew up in school, grew up together, and went off into the world, and then what happens?
They write each other.
They kept in touch writing letters. She wasn't too fond of it. The character of Melissa plays Melissa, and he was. So they wrote letters back and forth. They talked on the phone now and then as well and all of that, and would see each other every now. Well, not too many times, but, yeah, they wrote letters. And that's where the love letters comes in, that they reminisce and go through these love letters that spanned 40 years.
Yeah. Hmm. It's kind of like the life of E.B. Wright and that lady that worked in the bookstore. They spent their whole lives just corresponding back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was that Charing Cross Road? Is that what that was?
Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. I might have been, yeah.
Susan, what was it about this particular play that you decided you wanted to produce and direct this, and then the folks that you added to the ensemble, what was it about it?
Well, I feel that every line in there, this writer, E.R., he's such a great writer, and anybody can relate to the dialogue that he wrote. And that was meaningful to me because, you know, if you can see something either on screen or in a play and you say, oh, you know, I felt that way or I said that to somebody that time, I remember, and they can relate and feel the emotion, that's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's meaningful and it has some great drama as well as some good comedy lines. So it's real, you know, it's a real situation with two people.
Okay. Todd, get in there.
So, Susan, you're a lot braver than most directors, because most directors don't want to work with somebody they know too well. Here, you've done it twice. You've doubled up. So there
I
understand, but there are moments where, as a director, you might have to have a stern word or two. You know, it's not like talking to talking or dealing with Harry Bunker and myself, where you just throw another bottle of bourbon our way and we stop talking.
Okay.
Did you have any trepidation going into this project in that respect?
None at all. I think working with them from the show and getting to know them without the show meant that they were good people and easy to work with and very lovable. I love both of them, and I think to work with them has made me very happy.
All right.
Well, you're fearless, and when Susan, she directs, that's part of it.
When she directs and straps that .45 caliber on her hip, I do anything she wants me to do.
Is that Kent's .45?
No, it actually belonged. Do you remember the director Sam Fuller?
Yes.
Well, Sam Fuller was a close friend, and Sam Fuller, instead of saying action, used to raise up his gun and fire it in the air.
And you better not have a second
that's
take.
Actually, you know. Yeah, Stan's right. I get out the 45.
Good for you.
Todd,
good for you.
We have a rehearsal tomorrow. Todd, I'm going to wear some pretty heavy earplugs, I think.
Yeah.
We'll get you one of those vests different that the police wear just for backup.
Thank
you're right.
You.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
We're going to take...
I have a bulletproof vest on underneath my costume.
We're going to take our first commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. You believe I made my living with this mouth?
No.
Yeah, I don't either. Anyway, we've got much more to come here on the program after these very important messages. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, and Todd Roberts with you. We'll be right back.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms. But you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club is one of the best-kept economic secrets in town. This 900-member group maintains one of the finest shotgun shooting ranges in the country, featuring trap, skeet, five-stand, and sporting clays fields, and hosts national and international events that bring thousands of people and millions of dollars into our community. The Spring Satellite Grand American Tournament alone involves 1,200 participants for 10 days. Learn more about this and their other contributions to our community at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com.
Maybe we just don't believe in troubling trouble till trouble troubles us.
I ain't so sure the marshal would shoot a man in the back.
Well, then he'll turn you around and shoot you.
This is the Voices of the West.
Back on Abel Franzi's Voices of the West, Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles, and some Bill Boyd there to get us going. It's the Saturday night barnstorm and rag.
Yeah.
You've heard. It's Saturday.
That's not
so
the hoppy one either.
No. Totally
that's
different.
That's the singing Bill Boyd.
That's the singing Bill Boyd. And then there's the actor Bill Boyd.
Yeah, there's three Boyds out there.
I know.
Yeah. You know, my dad stood in for him back in the silence.
Did he really?
Yeah.
For Hoppy?
For pre-Hoppy.
The original Hoppy. The original Boyd.
The Cecil B. DeMille Boyd.
Cecil B. DeMille. All right, we've got Susan McCrae, Stan Iver, and Pam Roylance here with us on the program. We're talking about the play. It's called Love Letters, directed by Susan McCrae. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, the history behind this is kind of interesting because Mr. Gurney had been invited. He did a lot of speaking and teaching, apparently, and he'd been invited to do another lecture. And he was so tired of doing the same lectures that he told him, I'm going to do something different. And he had this play he was working on. And so he got a lady named Holland Taylor, and they went down to the New York Public Library and did it as a reading.
Nice.
And, you know, it was just kind of a one-time-only thing.
Nice.
But he thought it's kind of nice. It developed, and then it just took a life of its own.
Anything to comment there, Susan?
You're absolutely right. I do want to comment. This particular play in this particular performance has some added things to it.
Mm-hmm.
One of which is my father's music, which it has a beautiful, beautiful theme in it, which really brings a lot of feeling to the show. And another one is a painting that my mother did,
mm-hmm.
because Melissa is an artist. And so we have an artist there. So there's an awful lot of added little things to give you a little more emotion to it than just reading a letter, you know? And I think it brings something special to it. By the way, I want to mention something. You had an advertisement on about the White Stallion Ranch, and I want to tell you, that is the best place. We used to shoot there all the
mm-hmm.
time. Right, Steve?
Right. Old Sheriff John Gannon would go out there and kill rattlesnakes before we got there.
That's right. That's right. But that is a great place to go for a vacation or mm-hmm. to have a good time. The White Stallion Ranch. I couldn't say more about it than I wanted to say something, because they're wonderful people.
You're a great sponsor, and Russell True is a great friend to the show.
He is, and the ranch has been used in so many movies, in backdrops and B-rolls.
Commercials.
commercials. I mean, yeah.
But, you know, Russell's favorite was the Sports Illustrated swimsuit.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah, that was his favorite.
I understand that.
Well, you know, I hope that the, you know, because I heard some of the music on that one promotional you did with Allison's. They had some of the piano music from your dad in there, and it's so sweet.
Yes.
Who played? Was that him? A recording of him, or was that you played?
No, that was Vinnie Falcone.
Oh, yeah, the great
pianist and conductor for Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, oh, good. You know, I'm hoping that anybody that does it in the future keeps that in there.
Yeah, you sure do.
Yeah, a lot of important people here.
Big, big time. All right, where do we go next, Bunker?
Well, okay. let's just deal it, dig into Susan's experience as a director, because this is not her first play directed, and maybe she could tell us a little bit about her first play and how it went.
She was a casting director, totally different.
No, a stage play. She directed a stage play.
That's what I'm saying. Casting director versus a regular director.
You guys, please don't fight. Don't fight.
We both got our knives out.
I got my gun out. You know, watch out.
Okay. Okay. No, my first play that I ever directed was called The Runner Stumbles.
Classic.
And they made a movie out of that starring Dick Van Dyke. And it didn't do very well, but the play was very interesting. And I did that at a playhouse, which was right across the street at Paramount Studios, which was convenient for me because our offices for Little House were there, and I used to just go right across the street and work in the evening and then come back for the for casting the show.
Nice.
Yeah, I got an off the subject question, but you know, you went through probably not hundreds but thousands of kids, and I know all of them you couldn't cast, and that probably broke your heart. But of all those kids, some of them had to stand out, just you know, head and shoulders above all the others. Whatever happened to some of those?
Well, I think you may have heard of Jason Bateman.
He's
done quite well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a young man who unfortunately passed away at an early age in a terrible car accident, and that was Paul Walker, who was very well known. The girls just loved him. And, of course, you know, all the kids, you know, Melissa Gilbert, you know, mm-hmm. Melissa Sue Anderson, you know, all those wonderful people. And there were two kids that I cast for the Carters, which were played by Pam and Stan. And Pam, why don't you tell them their names?
Well, David Friedman played the youngest, Jason Carter, and Lindsay Kennedy played the older, Jeb Carter, and they were both really talented children, plus they were absolutely adorable and real good kids. I mean, they would come prepared. They would have their lines down. They'd have to spend time in school when school was in session, which is on the set there. And, you know, they'd come to the set, do the great job. They were so funny and fun to be with that Stan and I had a wonderful time with just the four of us as the Carters. But the raw talent of both those boys. I mean, you see it today when you watch reruns of Little House.
How much did Michael Landon figure into your selection, Susan, as to the kids? And I believe Michael had quite the I know he had quite the work ethic, but in terms of the kids following up with their studies and such.
Well, Mike was a great person for kids to work with because he was very funny. He loved to pull little pranks with them. And, I mean, he was basically a child himself, to be honest. But, he had great feelings and sensitivity when it comes to kids or even the adults. I mean, he really cared about everybody and their performance and what he could do to make them comfortable. I think the decision making, honestly, to tell you the truth, he gave to me.
Oh,
and
nice.
I'm very proud to say, you know, that he did that because it's not it's not heard of in many instances for a casting person to be able to say, I want this one. Most of the people that I found actually didn't have a lot of films, so that's what made it even more challenging but a lot of fun for me.
You know, there were two kids that you cast on that show that they really I think, excelled. And it was this young lady named Pam and this young guy named Stan, and that was their first jobs in Hollywood as on film.
Uh-huh. Well, there's one girl I can honestly say who everybody misses quite. I mean, I love Shannon Doherty, was probably one of the wonderful young girls that I cast, and she's obviously missed by a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a strange world, the world of children and acting. It takes a lot.
Yeah.
You know, there's another interesting thing with Stan and Pam is that they both had a solid theater background before them, behind them when they came to Hollywood. And, you know, one of the things that Pam had said in the interview on another throw was that when she got there and she started talking with other actors, she didn't realize that all actors didn't have a theater background. That she was amazed. Tell us about that, Pam.
You know, that's so true. I just was working it was after Little House. I was working on Days of Our Lives, a soap opera. And, you know, a lot of those folks, they're just gorgeous people. And I didn't realize that a lot of them just came from modeling. They didn't necessarily come from acting, so they didn't have any fundamentals of acting or training in their background. They just knew how to hit their marks. They knew the on-camera tricks. And that is where, and I think, Stan, I should give you a chance to talk here, too. That's where I think if you start on the stage and somebody gives you a chance to go back and do it again, it's just like the biggest gift anyone can give you, because your roots are there, and it's where you find your joy as well as so much of your history. Don't you think, Stan?
You see how well trained these two girls have gotten me? I don't speak unless I'm talking to you. Okay?
Speak,
and
Robert,
I want
speak.
You guys to realize that. This is an education for you. We have a wonderful working relationship because I don't talk until they tell me to talk.
I just wanted to make sure you weren't asleep, Stan.
Women train us well.
I just woke up. No, it's true. I mean, Pam and I, when we first met there, when Susan and Michael cast us and all that, and NBC wasn't happy about us. They didn't know us. And so we had to go over and do another interview for NBC. And that's when we really bonded and all of that. But yeah, I come from the stage as well. I started in high school. They started a theater group in high school, and I did in high school. I didn't do anything in college because I went to a military academy, the New York State Maritime College, and graduated from there. And then after that is when I went to sea for a number of years. I went to sea for almost 10 years, was in Vietnam for 2.5. And then when I came ashore and living in Huntington Beach down here in California, I said, you know, I think I'd like to try it. And I saw an ad for Death of a Salesman down at the Laguna Moulton Playhouse. And I interviewed for it. I didn't get the lead. I did understudy the lead. I played Stanley the waiter. I thought that was pretty good for myself. Stanley was playing Stanley.
But, that's a great
yeah,
play.
You know, Stan, I got to tell you, Stan, I got a gripe with you right there because, you know, you started off with really something light. I mean, you know, don't dive in head over heels into the deep end without being able to see the bottom of the pool.
Not really?
So, I mean, you know.
Well, Stan, you know, in high school.
You see now, there's another thing. You just said something that Susan knows exactly what I'm going to say right now. You just said dive into the pool. I'm a captain in the Merchant Marine. I've got a license. I've sailed on container ships and all of that. My mom went to sea. My dad went to sea. My brother sailed for 30 years. There's one thing I can't do.
Swim.
I don't know how to swim.
Well, I've got another question
no,
here for you, Stan.
He doesn't know.
Stan, when you were in high school, you did Harvey. I want to know, were you the rabbit or were you Jimmy Stewart?
I was Jimmy Stewart, and then after the play, I was the rabbit. And you know, it's funny you say that, because back home in New York, my brother and I still have the family home, and hanging in the family home is the painting with a painting of me with the rabbit standing behind me, and it's hanging on the wall. It was a classmate of mine. She did a wonderful painting of it. So it's still hanging on the wall at home, yeah.
How cool. All right, we need to take our next commercial break.
Well would be down.
There you go. We got to take our next commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts with you. Our guests, Susan McRae, Stan Ivar, and Pamela Roylentz. And we're talking about the play that Susan is directing called Love Letters. And we'll be back with much more after these messages. Stay tuned.
Can you even imagine switching back to pen and paper to run your business? Every year, we become more and more dependent upon our technology. If your network is not set up properly, you're just one click or one email away from losing data critical to your operation. Arizona Computer Guru offers a host of services to prevent and protect you from disaster. From online backup services to email filtering to fully managed network services, Arizona Computer Guru is here to keep your network secure, your data safe, and your budget in the black. To schedule your free consultation, call 304-8300.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club dates from 1948 and is now at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway. The club owns 80 acres and leases 300 more from Pima County that supports 50 trap fields, 15 skeet fields, 2 5-stand fields, 2 sporting plays courses with 12 stations each, a 9,000 square foot clubhouse, 200 full service RV hookups for members, and free Wi-Fi. This expansive facility gives enough room to host major national and international events annually, bringing thousands of people to the community. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSki.com.
Mr. Manolito, you come to join up with us, or you just running for protection?
Oh, man, Bob, please. That poor girl, you know, she misunderstood my tender friendship for deep love.
Deep love, huh? Well, the next time we come to town, you're going to ramrod this outfit. And you're going to live under my conditions. No red eye, no mezcal, no pulque, no nada. You're going to nursemaid me and Blue Boy.
Right. Well, please, you know me. I have such a, what should they say, a weak character.
Come on, Romeo.
This is the Voices of the West.
Back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles, Susan McRae, Stan Ivar, and Pam Roylance are our guests for today. We're talking about love letters.
I knew this
is for all you high chaparrals out there.
I never heard that song before.
You never did?
No. You know what was neat? Because Susan's dad wrote for all the characters in there. Each one of them had their own theme, and Manolito's theme is just beautiful.
Oh, it is, yes. And you know, there's always trouble brewing when it's Manolito's theme.
And speaking of that, Susan, I know you love talking about your dad, and I think this is a good time to pay him a little tribute.
Oh, well, that's very nice. My father won an Oscar for a big movie called The Franz Liszt Story, which was Song Without End. Mm-hmm. And then the next year, He did a movie called Fanny, which was a Broadway hit, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also was nominated the next night, next day, for the next year, for The Singing Nun with Debbie Reynolds.
Hmm.
Ah. And beside those feature films that he did many westerns, many, many westerns, one of which Stan told me he watched the other night, and he said, boy, that music was great. And it was with Barbara Stanwyck riding at the beginning in this gorgeous white horse.
40
and
guns.
Do you remember what it was called, Stan?
40 Guns.
Yeah. Right, 40 Guns. Yeah. Great Western.
Yeah. Absolutely definitely,
great. So he has done a lot of work, and he was a very incredible pianist, concert pianist, and I'm very proud of him.
You know, because I do a lot of research, and I love looking up, but one of the things that I do is I always look and see if there's anything under the soundtrack on there, because that was something that Emil taught me. And it's amazing how many shows your dad contributed to. Amazing.
It really is. If you go through the list, it is amazing. It really is. And all different genres, different sounds. I don't know if you remember the movie of the week. Well, it was a 2-hour movie called Salem's Lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Scared me to death. I had to sleep with my parents.
Exactly. It's the scariest thing.
Susan, I have to ask you.
Yeah.
Susan, I have to ask you, you know, and I know it's contrary for casting directors to give away the honey hole where the golden goose is kept. But many casting directors over the years I've read about, or directors who say, well, you know, I always was able to go to this source and find a good actor. And with all the different acting schools around L.A., don't mean to put you on the spot, whether it's Milton Caselas or Howard Fine or Joanna Barnes or whoever, Stella Adler and Uta Hagen in New York, Strasberg here. Where was it that you had where was your honey hole? Where was your secret where you kept the golden goose? Where was that spot?
At the little theater in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I used to go to the theater practically, maybe twice a week, and I would go and see different actors. There was many actors that I found in theater that I was so fortunate to see them perform because they had no film. So, you know, you gave them a chance to really work, and that was the best. That was my golden goose.
Mm-hmm.
Because they couldn't hide.
All these other people are wonderful acting coaches. They really are. But there's nothing like being able to see an actor perform in front of a live audience.
In the raw, where they can't hide.
Well, not really.
Well, but they're having to rely on themselves and who they are.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I just want to mention, I think, in my estimation, the best acting teacher that I ever came across, and I think probably one of the best that ever came, was Victor French.
Yeah.
I know you've said that many times, Bunker, and I would agree. He was a great actor.
No, I mean talking about an acting teacher.
Well, he was a good actor, and he was a good teacher.
And he was a good director.
Yes.
What were you going to say, Stan?
No, I was going to say with the Western end of it, there was a play I did in Santa Monica, it's a one-act play written by Sam Shepard. It's called Killer's Head.
Yes.
And it's a West Texas cowboy that's strapped in the electric chair, and he never sees... He's got the blindfold on the whole time, and he's in the electric chair, and he's reminiscing about life. He's not even talking about death, and he's going to get fried, and he does get fried on the set right at the end. But it's an interesting play, Sam Shepard, the one-act play, if anybody get a chance to read it. It's called Killer's Head. It's an interesting little play.
Great writer.
Sam Shepard was a wonderful wonderful writer and really a great actor, too.
Absolutely.
Susan, how long will the love letters run at the theater?
It will start running the 21st, and it'll go through the 31st of August.
Okay.
And then it's going to be held over and held over and held over.
Well, actually, the manager and owner of the theater asked me if I wanted to extend it, and I said, you know what, why don't we just wait it out and see how it does? But I have gotten, which you'll like this, the Autry Museum is very interested having the play there.
Nice.
Oh,
that's a nice theater, too.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful
theater. Yeah, it's a brand new, I mean, they've really updated the theater. And it's just opening, I think, in another month or so.
Nice.
And it's really quite wonderful.
Excellent.
Well, you know, you can't put a play on just the three of you. So I understand you have a young man or gentleman there as your production manager, who is just like I've heard you refer to him as a Jim. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about your production manager.
Oh, he's wonderful. We could all tell you about Todd.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? He's
well,
the best.
Well, go for it, guys.
And honestly, he's done everything. You can't imagine all the different things this man has done. Hmm. First of all, he's a lover of horses. And he actually was the carriage, horse and carriage guy going in New York, going around. I mean, he's got wonderful. You got to talk to him. You really would find him very interesting.
Yeah, right. You have to, yeah.
All right.
He's been in the circus.
Right.
He can do anything technical. He's also, his name is Todd McCraw, by the way, and he's just such a lovely human being. Just as a person, he's very positive to have around. But I watch him as we do this show. He takes all kinds of notes. He follows up on everything, and he makes sure that we're going to have everything that we need, and it will be in exactly the right place it's supposed to be. And you can trust him. This guy is something else. And when we did the 50th anniversary of Little House on the Prairie in Simi Valley, California, he was instrumental in creating this beautiful indoor, there were three sets that he recreated with his people, and we only got to enjoy it for 3 days and then it was gone, but it was three magical days, and he just recreated what you watched on television every Monday night for 10 years. So, yeah, he's quite the magical guy and such a nice person.
You mean that Stan didn't take
like
the sets out to his place?
Wrong with you. Pardon me?
I said, you didn't, that Stan didn't take those sets out to his place with the Little House stuff?
Oh, he has.
I have the original. I have the original, yeah. But it's It's been quite a few years, and it didn't get saved the way it should. I do have everything, the windows and all of that. Yeah,
cool. That is cool.
You should open that up as a tourist destination.
Yeah.
What's that?
That should open it up for the fans of the show as a tourist.
There you go.
Like a day trip thing.
There you go.
And put them to work when they get out there painting and nailing.
All right, we need to take our final commercial break here. On Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts with you. Our guests are Susan McCrae, Pam Roylance, and Stan Iver. And we're talking about the play that Susan is directing called Love Letters. And we'll find out much more about that after these very important messages. So do not, repeat, do not.
Do not.
Run away.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and a hacienda. That's a five-bedroom, three-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
No doubt you've heard about rescue groups for dogs and cats, but did you know there's a rescue group for horses? That's right, it's called Horse It Around Rescue. Founders Steve Boyce and Teresa Worrell are helping out all those equine victims of neglect and cruelty by giving them a place to restore their health and wellness. And Horse It Around provides a nurturing and natural environment where horses can be horses, so they can be adopted out into forever homes. More than 120 horses, mules, and donkeys have been adopted out, but like everything else, it costs money to run the project. Horse It Around is a 501c3 nonprofit located in Southeast Arizona. Your tax-deductible donations to Horse It Around will go a long way so those horses can be horses. Check out the website, horseitaroundrescue.org. Make a difference in a horse's life. That's horseitaroundrescue.org.
Besides bringing millions a year into this community with national and international events, the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway services the local shooting sports community with a 380-acre site featuring trap, skeet, five stand, and two sporting clays fields, as well as a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, which all is available to local shooters, and soon, an archery range. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com or take a drive out west of town and see it for yourself. New members or single-day use, welcome.
I'll give you $10 an acre better than top price for that section of yours in 43.
Well, I couldn't take that, Mr. Jode.
I'll throw in a corner business lot right here in Red Dust.
Well, I couldn't do it. That would be selling out the rest of the settlers.
That isn't good business, Mr. Hardy. Let the other settlers take care of themselves.
Perhaps Mr. Hardy has a code that he'd like to live up to.
I'm talking business with Mr. Hardy, my friend.
Call me Stevens. I couldn't choose my name, but I can choose my friends.
This is the Voices of the West.
Always sing raggedy music to the cattle as they swing back and forward in the saddle on a horse that was syncopated gated. There was such a funny meter to the roar of his repeater, how they run when they hear the fellow's gun. And the western folks all know he's a hyperlootin', rootin', tootin' son of a gun from Arizona, ragtime cowboy Joe.
By golly, he is
a rootin' tootin'.
Welcome back to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander Bunker DeFrance, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. Our guests are Susan McCrae, Stan Ivar, and Pam Roylance. And Susan's directing a play called The Love Letters, and Stan and Pam are stars in that. And it's the first time they've been together since, well, the, on stage at least, since Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, about that.
So
that's right.
You know, I got a question for Susan here now. And this, because you always amaze me, you've got more irons in the fire than we got fires. But I understand you also have a new little poetry book out. Now, is that cowboy poetry, or is that the, or is that Shelley and Keats?
No, it's called Poetry Bouquet, and it's on Amazon, and it's a beautiful, beautiful, talk about relatable. But I have written these poems that really mean a lot to me and mean a lot to other people. I write about my last golden retriever that I love dearly, and I think it's all relatable, and that's important to me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a family type poetry book.
Well, I've got a real short, quick cowboy poem for you. A little bird up in the sky dropped some whitewash in my eye. I didn't shout, I didn't cry. I just thank God that cows can't fly.
Oh, that's so moving.
He tells that every National Day. He tells that every National
it's
Day of the Cowboy.
Moving.
Yeah, let's also remember that poem.
Memorized, right?
Yeah, well, that poem is so much better after the fourth margarita. It's really good after
it gets
the
longer
fourth margarita.
After the fourth
it gets
margarita.
Longer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And did you know that Susan and I have a book together?
No.
Yes.
Tell us.
Yes.
Pray tell,
it's
pray
the
tell.
Story of Sammy, the story of Sammy and Zelda.
Oh,
and
yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I forgot about it. Tell us about it.
The two sea lions.
That's
my
right.
My two favorite sea lions.
Yep. Yeah, I remember.
Based on a true story.
Yeah.
Based on a true story. Yeah.
We had Susan on some time back, and I remember her talking about that. Yeah.
Well, when are you guys going to make it into a movie with Susan directing it?
We're looking for two sea lion characters.
That's going to be hard to cast. Well, you know, Stan and Pam could play the sea lions.
You bet. I mean,
I can just see them. I can see them in wardrobes.
There's one problem, guys. I don't know how to swim.
Stan, you've never heard of floaties?
We'll get you some water wings.
Oh yeah, that looks really good on a sea lion with floaties.
That's funny.
Like
Susan, I don't want to put you on the spot, but every time you come on, I put you on the spot. So you're used to
every
this by
time.
Now.
Every
I know.
Time.
Well, listen, why would anything change?
All right.
You worked with Wilfred Brimley.
Yep.
Cool. You have, and James Coco. And James Coco. Do you please share a story of
I gave Wilfred Brimley the first job he got out here in California as a clown in a show that I did called Rodeo Girl.
Yes,
yeah.
With Catherine Ross.
I was just looking at
that
yesterday.
That's exactly who it was. And he was a clown in that, and he was absolutely wonderful. He was a real character and a good person, and Jimmy Coco was exceptional. Is that who you asked about?
Yeah, James Coco.
Yeah, Jimmy Coco was a wonderful actor, and I really admired him so much. He was great.
Very funny. Very funny guy.
Very, very. I've been very fortunate, guys. I've worked with some really incredible talents,
mm-hmm, yeah.
Including Pam and Stan. But I have really, I mean, to work with Art Carney, to to work with Bernie Borgnine, to work with Patricia Neal, to work with those kind of people, and even and Dick Van Dyke, who was a lovely man, or is a lovely man. He's a wonderful man.
And he still works from time to time.
Yeah.
And he's older than Methuselah.
He's older than you, Bunker.
Yeah.
He's older than you, Bunker.
Yeah, he's not 80.
You know, he's past 80.
All right. We're plumb out of time, folks. Susan.
Wait, we got our question.
Okay.
We got our question. We've already asked it of Susan in the past.
All right.
But we have to ask Pamela.
And Stan.
We've asked Stan in the past. But
okay.
We're going to let Stan
slide.
We're going to let Stan get back on the mound again.
Okay.
Pamela is first.
Okay. Do it, Todd.
Pamela, not to put you on the spot, but liquor is involved. Your favorite Western film or television?
Little House.
No matter what your answer, you're going to offend someone.
I will.
Let it fly.
But I think it might be Bonanza, because I grew up with it, you know.
Oh.
I love Little House. It's such a, you know, dear to my heart. Bonanza was my childhood, my family. It was just,
Michael Landon.
And really, and falling in love with Michael Landon, of course.
Well,
of course.
That's easy. That's an easy one. I get it.
That's a good one.
I always love that great line in the movie Tin Men, where Jackie Gale is asking his buddies at breakfast every morning, "Did you watch Bonanza last night?" And what? Yeah, Bonanza was on. Didn't you watch it? And Richard Dreyfuss goes, "What is it with you and Bonanza?" He goes, "You don't like Bonanza? I love Bonanza. I watch it every week." He goes, "I don't understand how you can love a show about a 49-year-old man and his three 48-year-old sons."
That's great.
It's true.
Stan.
It's really great.
Stan. Come on, Stan.
Same question.
Yep.
I don't even have to think about it. When I was born and raised in Brooklyn, my favorite guy was Hopalong Cassidy.
There you go.
Oh.
And I have a picture that my parents had of my brother. My brother's 3.5 years younger than me, and I was probably about 6 or 7, and I'm looking at it right now, and it's a photograph at the studio with a professional photographer. My brother and I both are dressed in Hoppy outfits.
Oh, excellent. I want a copy of that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yes. I want that photograph.
Send me your number. I'll text you a copy of that.
Yeah, just put it up on the internet, Stan. It'll be good there.
Yeah.
Folks, we're all...
I think all those fans would love to see him in a cowboy outfit.
I know. All right, folks, we are plumb out of time.
Oh,
and Susan, Stan, and Pam, thank you so much for spending the hour with us. Really appreciate it. Good luck on the play, Break a Leg.
Go to the Whitefire Theater in Sherman Oaks.
And tickets.
No whistling in the theater.
And tickets are how much?
They're $45.
Okay. And you can get them right there at the box office, right?
They'll mail it to you.
Or you can go online and get it on their website.
All right.
They'll go right to it. They'll even mail the tickets to you if you want.
Excellent.
Don't stand in the line.
No, okay. I love that part. All right. That's going to be it for this edition of Emil Franzi's Voices of the West.
78, 79, 80 O's on one of the most wonderful hours we've ever had on the show.
Thanks a lot, folks. So long.
Thanks for listening to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West.